This is Gulf Coast Live. I'm Mike Canary. Later this hour, we're looking back on a conversation we had at the beginning of rainy season about mosquitoes, from the amount of work that is done to reduce their numbers to why they seem to favor some people over others. We sat down with a spokesman from the Lee County Mosquito Control District and a University of Florida entomologist to learn more about the pervasive pests. But first, the North American Butterfly Association has conducted its butterfly count program in the United States, Canada, and Mexico since 1993. Local people try to find and identify as many butterflies as possible within a 15-mile diameter in a one-day period. This data is compiled and published to help researchers stay on top of information like geographical distribution and relative population sizes. Comparison of the results over time is used to monitor changes in butterfly populations and study the effects of weather and habitat change on North American butterflies. This Friday, July 13th, teams of butterfly spotters will gather in locations in Fort Myers and Cape Coral, including at the Edison and Ford Winter Estates in Fort Myers. We're joined today by Debbie Hughes. She's the senior horticulturalist at the Edison and Ford Estates. Debbie, thanks for your time today. We appreciate you coming in.
Well, thank you, Mike. And I hear you like butterflies, too.
I do like butterflies. Who doesn't like butterflies?
I know.
If you don't like butterflies, call us now. As always, we do invite you to join our conversation. Have you participated in one of these counts in the past, or maybe you're interested in playing a part this year? The number to call is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. On Facebook, we're at WGCU Public Media. On Twitter, we're at WGCU. Just use the hashtag GCL. So let's start with the basics. What role do you and the estates have to play in this year's count?
Well, interestingly, this is only going to be our second year doing this.
Okay.
But now it's kind of interesting, but butterflies have been very popular throughout the years. I started butterfly gardening about 20 years ago when I became a master gardener. And then, trying to teach everyone about how to butterfly garden, because that was kind of a new thing. Interesting, though, Mina Edison had a butterfly garden.
Oh,
they didn't really call it that, but they knew they needed
pollinators.
And this
is a garden that attracts butterflies,
exactly.
Right? You're not growing butterflies.
No.
Okay.
Attracts the butterflies. And she had those. It was important to her. We have lists of plants, and a lot of them were butterfly plants. That's not by accident. She knew that she needed pollinators to pollinate the vegetables. So that's why butterfly gardening has taken off, because we realize that pollinators are kind of imperiled.
Mm-hmm.
Because of development here and also storms. I mean, we're going to see the results of Hurricane Irma.
Oh, yeah.
Probably on our count, we may be reduced. I'm not sure. We'll find out.
Interesting, yeah.
But that's what we try to find out. So the counts have been going on, like you said, 43 years. But this is only our second year. And it just started out with we became members of the NABA because we figured if we had a butterfly garden, we should support the group that does that too. So we became members. And then it got interested that – we saw Corkscrew did a count, and
mm-hmm.
they do one in Alva. They do it all over the state, quite a few places in Florida do, because butterflies are pretty important here. So we organized it so that we did one last year, and we were just thrilled with it. We had a great turnout of volunteers. We had the three sites, Lakes Park, Rotary Park, and then Edison Ford Winter States. We
so
just took
that,
the lead. We took the lead is what
does
it was.
Does that – the 15-mile radius, does that kind of cover that?
It
so
does.
Lakes Park to the estates, and where's the third one?
It is at Rotary Park in Cape Coral.
Oh, okay.
And
okay.
So these all have kind of a – they're Lakes Park being a kind of a marshy they have – lots of water. You're going to see different butterflies there than
mm-hmm.
you would see at Edison Ford Winter States. So we think that's important to have different habitats that we would count. And then even Rotary Park and Cape Coral is going to have different things because they're closer to, say, the Gulf than we are. And we'd like to even include maybe next year if we can find a place in North Fort Myers to add another site, because that's really not counted north of us. And there are some preserves that are not open yet, but once they get open, maybe we can walk through them. They're probably going to be covered with water.
Right.
So, but you'll see different butterflies because it's different habitat.
So like for the people who are counting at the estates, do you just stay within the confines of the estates? Do you walk around the McGregor neighborhood?
Around a little
bit.
Neighborhood, so it's very urban, and that's been really important to me because I want to encourage people to have butterfly gardens, and a lot of the urban areas are missing out on some of those plants, even though when you think about it, they're such beautiful plants. A lot of them have flowers. That's what attracts the butterflies.
Right.
And some of the host plants are also very lovely. So we'll kind of explain host and nectar as we go on, but those are things that people can grow in their yard and they're pretty. So there's no reason why they can't add to the populations of butterflies. If there's more plants, there's going to be more butterflies.
Right. So how many butterflies were found at the estates last year during
your
first count?
There were quite a few. There were 34 different species. But the thing about it is there's certain ones that they were found more of. There were four zebra longwings like you had talked about. Mm-hmm. They now call them zebra heliconias.
Oh, wow. First I've heard.
Yes. And there were Polydama swallowtails, which was the number one. And that's the one that really feeds on Dutchman's pipevine. There were 15 of those. So there were actually total of 19 species and 134 individual butterflies. And people do ask me, well, how do you not count the same butterfly?
Right.
Because you know how they fly around, they flip,
go
from flower to flower. Well, that's why we have volunteers, because they help us say, no, that's the same one, because you follow it. So we have about six of us that walk around and keep track of them so that we don't count them twice.
Is there picture taking going
on? Absolutely pictures, because some of them are so fast and they're flying. And they're just little details that make the difference between a cloudless sulfur and an orange barred sulfur and a certain dots on it. So a picture is a lot easier to identify. We actually have a Southwest Florida butterfly identification group on a Facebook that we send pictures to each other and test ourselves to see if we can say, oh, yeah, we know what that is after we've looked in a book, of course.
Yeah. So who are the people that will be counting? Is it too late to get involved?
Well, it's never too late to get involved. We have the volunteers that are actually going to help us count, but we don't want to turn anybody away. If they want to come and see what it's like and they might want to get involved next year, they can come and follow us and help us make sure we don't count them twice.
Gotcha. How big is the group that will be counting?
About six of us at each site. So there'll be six at three different areas. So it's about 18, but I'm sure we'll get a few more, especially people who want to learn more. They may not be able to help us right away because they don't know how to identify all the butterflies.
Yeah.
But they'll learn. Every year you learn more and more. And I don't know every single butterfly.
Sure.
That's why I depend on good material from books to identify them. There's a lot of great books. And that way we encourage people to do more butterfly gardening. If they come and see what we're doing and why it's so exciting we get so excited to see, oh, my gosh, I saw a Serranus blue butterfly when I was hiking the other day, which I have never seen. And it's kind of rare. Mm-hmm. And so I had to make sure I took a picture because I think I'm seeing things,
you know.
And I'm thinking it's the Cassius blue, which is on they usually use blue porterweed. But this was Serranus blue, which is kind of an endangered. And it was definitely that. So I was real excited to see that it came back to this coast because I know it's down in the Keys. And they've been trying to get it back to, this area, the West Coast. You know, there's some butterflies that we just don't have over here because we don't have the population of other plants because they have certain host plants. And their host plant for Serranus blue is nicrobene. And we don't have a lot of nicrobene.
Gotcha. So they're not going to
grow. Most people don't grow that in their backyard.
Yeah. We're learning about the annual butterfly count conducted annually by the North American Butterfly Association. A local count is happening in Lee County this Friday. I'm joined in studio by Debbie Hughes. She's the senior horticulturalist at the Edison and Ford Winter Estates in Fort Myers. If you'd like to ask her a question or make a comment, give us a call. The number is 877-428-8255. That's 877-GCU-TALK. Now, this has been going on for decades. Is this a good example of what we hear of as citizen science.
People
trying to collect data for using normal people that then, researchers can apply to their fields of study.
Oh, definitely, because they're the experts and they want to know what's going on in their communities, especially with all the development we've had here. They're going to say they're going to improve the outcome if people get involved and they see the importance of having butterflies and all pollinators, really, bees. And there aren't just honeybees. There are all kinds of bees that pollinate orchids and you name it. There's so many more bees beside honeybees. But when people start to attach some kind of love for something that they can get into, then they might be more involved in planting the plants and getting outside. It's so important to be outside. And I notice the kids really, really love this. And they probably all do this in school in fourth grade and learn about all the pollinators. But this way they can actually apply it out in their own yard. I think they're the ones who get the most excited.
How does a new site become a site? Do you apply for it?
Yes, we do. Actually, our PR director, Lisa Wilson, got this all involved with INABA last year, and she's the one who coordinated it all, and I just followed her lead. I'm the one who just gets everybody involved because I started the Butterfly Garden at the Edison Ford Winter States, and I also helped start one at the Lee County Master Gardener site in Terry Park. So it's just one of those things I've always encouraged people. I give talks on it. I've been a speaker at many of the garden clubs. And so it just made sense for us to be involved with NABA. There's no reason why the Edison Ford Winter States, an outstanding botanical garden, shouldn't have a butterfly garden.
Yeah.
Plus, our whole community around us should be involved in that. They should be, you know, think that's important to keep the butterfly population.
Does NABA tell you, you know, do the count within this date range or something like that?
You know, July 4th is kind of traditional time for most people to do that because when you think about the whole country, the weather in the north in the winter wouldn't be as conducive to
sure.
do a count. So they do it in the summer. But people have done it in April and they've done it in October. They don't make you do it. You can do it whenever you want.
They probably just want you to make sure you do it at the same time each year so
exactly.
there's some sort of continuity probably.
Right. And interestingly, Corkscrew Swamp did theirs in October also. They did one in July and October. And what they found was there were less butterflies after Hurricane Irma, which makes sense. So they just wanted to see if there were data to prove that the hurricanes do diminish some. But I'm sure a lot of the butterflies would hunker down just like we do, get some shelter. It's just that a lot of their host plants might have been damaged at the time. So then they don't get as many caterpillars to eat the host food. And, you know, they still go on. They still go on,
now,
whether we like it or not. Sometimes people don't like moss.
What's the difference? Is there an easy, simple way to describe
really
easy,
simple
the difference?
There's a really easy, simple way. And if you use a magnifier glass, but if you don't need reading glasses like we do, Mike, you could probably see it a lot
thanks
easier.
Thanks for pointing that out.
The moss have hairy bodies, and they also have feathery antennae. And they also mostly fly at night. Now, you can see some of them during, you know, daytime hours, too, because they probably will, you know, fly during the daytime. They don't just wait till nighttime because the nighttime is when they usually pollinate those flowers that are attracting them. And that's the purpose of moss.
Hmm.
There are a lot of invasive moss that have come to the United States that are problems. But generally, butterflies are loved more than moss, even though moss can be gorgeous, too. Because then the butterflies, the other difference is butterflies do not have hairy bodies. They have also golf club antennae. So if you're seeing these little golf clubs at the end of their antennae, you know that's a butterfly.
Interesting.
But there's also skippers. Skippers are in between butterflies and moss. They have golf club antennae, but they have hairy bodies. And they also use host plants like grasses, believe it or not. So you might see them in the ground a little more often. And some of them don't open their wings. Some of them keep them closed.
Hmm. Skippers.
Skippers. Isn't that
cute? That's a new one to me.
So there's butterflies, skippers, moss. There's so many things that pollinate. But butterflies seem to be the most intriguing for people to love.
You mentioned the host plant concept. Is there a certain plant that a certain
yes.
species, and if that plant is not there, the species will not be there? Is it directly that connected?
I think it's pretty certain that they will use certain things. I'll give you an example. Monarch butterflies have to have some type of milkweed, which is the chemicals in there help advance their larvae, which is the caterpillars. They'll lay their eggs on the host plant, which is milkweed, and that grows all over the United States.
Mm-hmm.
There's different species depending on where you live. So here we have a couple different native species, and we also use a tropical species that helps the monarchs. So what happens is they lay their eggs, the caterpillars chew it all up, they get big and fat, they crawl away and make their chrysalis usually under something where they can hide
okay.
so they don't want to be predated. And so what will happen is then they become the butterfly. The butterflies mate and start all over again.
Hmm.
And so the caterpillars, all they do is eat. That's all they do. Eat, eat, eat. That Hungry Caterpillar book, you know that?
That
one that we all read to our kids.
What happens during the count if you come across a caterpillar?
Is that
a subset of the data?
We can actually write that down as, and they call it immatures. And we put
immatures.
Down, yeah, we put down, there were 13 eggs on the pipe vine. Somebody actually counted the eggs. And the eggs could be the size of a pinhead.
Oh, wow.
And then they can say how many caterpillars you found. And generally in the summer, we find a lot of black swallowtails on things like dill and fennel and parsley. So there's certain times of the year you find more butterflies and caterpillars. I think we don't find black swallowtails at all in the winter, mostly in the summer. And I don't know what happens to them, where they go.
Hmm.
That's something maybe somebody
they're
can
figure migratory.
Out.
Aren't
they
like monarchs? Aren't monarchs like crazy migratory?
Monarchs are crazy migratory, but we have found that the ones in Florida, they've actually been tagging them, and
tagging
they have this
them?
Whole
Little
tagging.
Tags?
I don't do it, but somebody does it. There's a couple of groups that do this through the Extension Service,
mm-hmm.
and they have tagged these monarchs and found they do not leave Florida. They stay here.
So there's some local populations.
That's right. They don't need to because our weather is so conducive
gotcha.
To staying.
Right. Yeah, we're kind of
– And
yeah.
we provide the food. So there's been a lot of controversy. They have basically wanted not to allow that to happen, but this is the way nature is. It does adapt. And milkweed is one of those things that we provide. Gardeners are constantly calling us at the garden shop at the Edison Ford Winter Estates and asking – actually, this morning, I don't want to drive all the way from Alva if you don't have any milkweed because I need milkweed. My monarchs are eating it all up.
Huh.
So the caterpillars eat it all up and then do their chrysalis and then they're off.
What role do butterflies play in the ecosystem besides being pollinators?
Well, they sure are beautiful for us to see. I mean, there's not a person that doesn't love to see a butterfly flying around. It just makes you feel like you're in nature and you're part of nature and you're not the only one who lives here. There's other creatures that live here and they don't seem to really hurt us. I do know a few people who are afraid of them, but that's only a couple.
Hmm.
Most people really just – they find a lot of peace and tranquility with them when they see them flying. And I've even heard of people thinking it's their loved ones that have passed on that are now their souls have gone to butterflies or something. And they just it's really a phenomena that I can't explain.
What is the biggest threat they face besides loss of their host plants? Are they you said
spraying from, you know, mosquito, mm-hmm. which we seem to can't do without. I think mosquitoes have their own issues. But just the one little droplet of that harsh chemical will really hurt any kind of butterfly. They're really fragile, believe it or not. I mean, they can get through a lot of cold. Sometimes we get some cold spells, and they will, you know, basically go a little bit dormant. What I mean by dormant is they're cold-blooded, so they can, you know, really – they don't move much. So they can just kind of shelter under a tree until the cold – when I mean cold, we don't really get that cold. But even 35 for a butterfly is cold enough being cold-blooded. So they wait. They have those wings. They're solar collectors. So they love the sun. And that's why we don't really start till 10 o'clock in order to be able to see as many butterflies as possible because they're waiting for it to get warm. Now, it does get warm early in the morning too here. So
we can start a little bit early. Well, that is pretty much all the time we have. Remind us just when the count is and how somebody should contact you if they do want to drop in.
Sure. The count is Friday. That means this Friday. It's the July 13th,
yep.
Friday the 13th.
Oh, yes.
But butterflies don't care. They don't even know about that. It's at 10 a.m. We're going to meet probably a little bit earlier just to gather our stuff, make sure we're all on the same page, and we're going to have water for everybody so that we can keep hydrated because we're going to walk quite a bit. We end up walking about 3 miles around the property, so you know, be prepared for that. Wear good shoes, a hat, sunscreen, all that good stuff. And our number, if they want to be involved, is 239-334-7419.
Okay. Well, we'll put that on our website as well. That is all the time we have for this part of the show. I want to thank my guest. Debbie Hughes is the senior horticulturalist at the Edison and Ford Winter Estates in Fort Myers. Debbie, thanks for being here. It was great, and good luck with the count.
Thank you, Mike.
And I just have to say, so many butterflies, so little time.
I know.
There you go. When we return, we'll be revisiting a conversation we had last month with someone from the Lee County Mosquito Control District and a UF entomologist about all things mosquitoes as rainy season continues. I'm Mike Canary. You're listening to Gulf Coast Live. Stay with us.